Instruments of your peace, walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace.
The Lord is our light and our salvation. May the light and peace of Jesus the Christ be with you today. Well, beloved community, good morning and welcome, and thank you for braving the rain and the weather for being here today. So glad to see you. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister of this congregation and glad to be here with you this morning. If you are visiting with us, if you are a guest, we hope that you feel especially warmly welcome. Thanks for your presence. Those of you who are long timers, welcome back. This community is certainly blessed because of your presence. And those of you on Facebook, thanks for joining us that way as well. Hope that you are staying dry wherever you are located this morning. Well, you see some cards up on the screen. Take a moment and fill something out. The blue ones letting us know you're here. And yellow ones to send out some encouragement, anniversaries, birthday cards, those kind of things. And the pink ones, if you have some kind of celebration or prayer request you want to pass on to our shepherding team, all of those can go in the offering tray a little bit later in our service. Well, today is Mother's Day, if you did not know. And since we all share in the sounds of this faith community, Jesse Gay has asked to give testimony about how God blesses our lives through mothers and mothering figures. So Jesse, come on up, and we'll continue from there.
Good morning, everybody. I want to say on Mother's Day, I have some strong women in my life, mainly the one that was born in 1933 on May 11th, Eleanor Regay. But to go deeper than that, is go to my grandmother, Gertha Evans. I want to wish her in heaven, you know, a happy Mother's Day, because she always reminds us, you know, her birthday is December 23rd. She said, I was almost born on Jesus' birthday. I said, yes. I said, that's good. You know, it's really good, because when you have strong parents and grandparents to tell you a story, so I'm going to tell you a story. You know, all her children, which is two, she set us down, like I was telling Pastor Steve, on Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, in Easter, she tell us a story. But this particular story is about mothers. And she always tells us a story on Mother's Day, how, you know, Jesus was, you know, Jesus ain't had no mother, but he had a father. And so we all honor mothers. And she said, don't never forget to honor mothers. You know, I was in my first session at Bowles Place Friday. I met two people. I mean, you know, mothers, and they was telling me their story. They say, "Well, how do you get over it? How do you miss your mother?" I say, "By the grace of God, you get on your knees, or if you can't get on your knees, you thank God for giving you life." I say, because I have so many people that's behind me. I say, even people in my church who lost people as mothers. And so they cried on my shoulders. And they say, what should I do? I say, first you give God the glory. I say, take one step at a time. And you step out in faith. I say, but you know, this church where I go to, I said, we done lost so many people, but we honor so many mothers. And I just want to take time to honor every and each and every mother, you know, in this place. And when y'all see somebody on the street, you know, y'all honor them on Mother's Day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thanks.
Thank you, Jesse. We know that there have been strong women in your life who have loved you and supported you, so thank you for blessing us in that way. For a moment, how about we stand, we greet one another. If there is a mother or mothering figure around you you want to give a special greeting to today, let's do that for a moment, then we'll remain standing as I come and read our call to worship today. Let's do that now, please. All right, let's remain standing, please, for our call to worship. We'll remain standing through this and for our songs that follow. This is Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our foot slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You have laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. Let's worship in song together.
Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. My God has said his light will shine in hearts of men. The fruitless deeds of darkness past, revealed by Christ with glorious hand. Wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The fruits of light his Spirit gives are goodness, truth, and righteousness. A new day breaks and all is clear. Give thanks to God in Jesus Christ. Wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine
Please be seated.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
I'll be reading from 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. This is the verses we've been reading each week. I'm going to read the first four slides, and then please join me in the last slide. I believe it's in yellow. The time is near when all things will end, so keep your minds clear and control yourselves. This will help you in your prayers. Most important of all, love each other deeply, because love makes you willing to forgive many sins. Open your homes to each other and share your food without complaining. God has shown you his grace in many different ways, so be good servants and use whatever gifts he has given you in a way that will best serve each other. If your gift is speaking, your words should be like words from God. If your gift is serving, you should serve with strength that God gives you. Then it is God who will be praised in everything through Jesus Christ. Power and glory belong to him forever and ever. Amen.
In our world of sorrow, bring your life again. Guide us as we follow. Teach us as we pray. Give us strength to bow and praise. Light for our tomorrow. God who comes to save, Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save, wrapped in human weakness, to our world you came, carrying our sickness, suffering our shame, dying for our wickedness, rising up again. Victor over darkness, God who comes to save, Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save, Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save, God who comes to save.
I'm reading 1 Peter 3, 8 through 18. There's a long quote of a psalm in these verses, and I will point out when we're quoting from Psalms. Okay. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For, and the quote from Psalms starts, whoever among you would love life and see good days must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's the end of the quote. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit.
All right, our Roots friends, we are so glad that you are here. You can join Miss Brandy and Ellery at the back table if you would like to be a part of that group this morning. Dee, thank you for reading today. Caleb, thank you for leading us in song. Chelsea, thanks for reading our charge and our challenge for the morning. Well, let's pray together, please, and we'll continue. O God, you are our God, and earnestly this day we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching, Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, for it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. We are 4 weeks now into our 5-week series. 1 Peter is where we have landed this Easter season, and yes, Easter season, not just a single resurrection event in early April. Though society around us has, I can now confidently say, moved on from saying Happy Easter, we have been asked to stay here a little longer, to linger, to rejoice, to ask ourselves, so now what? 1 Peter has, if not an answer, then a response to that question. The short letter was written to a harassed peoples, clumps of Christians scattered throughout remote sections of the vast and ancient Roman Empire. Christianity was definitely not the state religion of the day, which caused all sorts of problems for those folks who felt drawn to Jesus. What was beforehand, in terms of their relationships, communities, loyalties, behaviors, was no more. Their faith had called them to something different, to something more. But strains and struggles became their present reality. In that context, 1 Peter spoke of things like generosity and stepping into the Spirit-guided wilderness and of the resurrection of Jesus. In other words, about hospitality, Lent, and Easter, which is what we collectively talked about from January to April. The past 3 Sundays, we have paid attention to the writings throughout this letter about practicing resurrection, how to love one another as strangers in the world, and last week, how we are being built into a spiritual house, a people chosen and belonging to God. Next week, we'll close out this series in chapter 5. Today, we pay attention to the writer. 3 weeks ago, I said that the author of 1 Peter may or may not have been the Apostle Peter. It may have been someone else who knew Peter and wrote as Peter or in honor of Peter after he had died. Such an exercise was not uncommon back then. But our goal 3 weeks ago, as it is now, is not to unearth who actually took pen to paper. It's to consider the faith that's been handed down to us, to hold on to the teachings of Jesus and to learn from him. We have, though, referred to Peter the Apostle often as the author, for ease sake, yes, since the letter as we have it is named after him, but also because Peter had his own experiences with hospitality, wilderness, and resurrection. He gets it. He knows. He understands. But it wasn't always like that for Peter. His life had all the twists and turns and peaks and valleys and blinding lights and dark corners that any one of us who have lived long enough have had. So we pay attention to the writing's writer this morning as a way to pay attention to what's going on in us. To say that Peter was a leader in the early church would be an understatement. His outsized role, both in name and practice, were legendary. The famed Peter, known throughout Palestine and beyond. His influence was enormous and recognized by all. His spirited preaching, his zealous prayers, his healings of individuals fixed him forever as the front runner for the burgeoning church in his day. When decisions needed to be made, all eyes turned toward him. When someone needed to step up and set things straight, he was it. Because of who he was, Peter was easily one of the most formidable figures in the Christian community, rivaling only Paul, who also happened to be sort of a rival. There's a reason why that in just about every roll call of Jesus' disciples, who was listed first? Peter. He was a natural leader, some by giftedness, some by sheer force of his temperament. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. It wasn't always like that for him. This was the same Peter who did not make the cut at rabbinical school as a preteen. He did not go on to further teachings and trainings like a few other young males in his class would have done, because his teachers and trainers believed that he did not have what it took to go further with them. That may be the reason why he started working for his father's fishing business, a failure to launch, perhaps. It also happened to be the reason why, one day, when a certain rabbi came up to him on a beach and said, "I believe that you do have what it takes. Come, follow me," he did. Without delay, displaying an impulsiveness that would define his life. Gave his dad a quick hug, left boats and nets behind, and along with his brother, went with Jesus. This is the same Peter who quickly rose in discipleship ranks. Jesus appointed him as an apostle early on, one of the 12. Soon he was part of the inner four, along with James, John, and Andrew, and then the privileged three with James and John, and multiple times just Peter, with Jesus giving him a new name. And although Peter wouldn't be able to drive for years to come, entrusting him with a set of keys to the present kingdom. This is the same Peter who would, in their 3 years together, would watch Jesus do all sorts of wild things. Jesus once told Peter during a fishing expedition to toss an empty net on the other side, and Peter did, and masses of fish practically swamped the ship. Jesus once healed his wife's mother, who was sick from fever. Jesus once transformed into a blazing ball of white light right there before his eyes, terrifying Peter nearly to death. This is the same Peter who astutely acknowledged, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the same Peter who also confessed, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." A commendable statement under many circumstances, but in this case, not so much. Jesus chastised Peter heavily when Peter's understanding of Messiah did not match Jesus's, mainly centering around suffering. But as Jesus' suffering inched ever closer, Peter, with his quick tongue and feisty demeanor, promised on his mother's grave that he would not ever leave Jesus' side, not even for a second. This is the same Peter who, when Jesus bent down and washed his disciples' feet, balked, "No, never." But Jesus said, "If you won't let me do this, you can't be a part of what I'm doing." This is the same Peter, when push came to shove and kiss came to betray, unsheathed his sword and took a mighty hack, aiming for a man's head, but sliced off an ear instead. Jesus, ever Jesus, replaced the ear without a sewing kit and commanded Peter to put the bloody sword down. This is the same Peter who, when Jesus was falsely accused and unfairly arrested, repeatedly swore up and down that he did not know the man, using such vulgar profanities that parents had to quickly usher their kids away. This is the same Peter who wept bitterly until he had no more tears to cry. This is the same Peter who was nowhere to be found while Jesus was being executed by the powers that were upon that shameful yet glorious cross. This is the same Peter who a few days later ran as fast as his feet would carry him to the cemetery when he heard the rumor that Jesus' body was no longer where it should have been. This is the same Peter whom the risen Jesus restored with some bread, some fish, and with peace and purpose. Peter's fresh calling was to feed people, just like Jesus had been doing since the beginning. This is the same Peter who, on the great getting up morning of Pentecost Sunday, preached a sermon that intensified within him with Joel 2 as his text. In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit everywhere. And Peter finished with a polar star. He would preach and baptize and heal and suffer with a courage and a passion renowned among the Roman world. And it's why he could have written a letter such as the one we've been listening to these last few weeks. We can now hear it more clearly where Peter is coming from. Writing, like wisdom, does not come in a vacuum. It comes from experience. Peter says here in our text, all of you have a unity of spirit, be like-minded and sympathetic, love one another, a tender heart, a humble mind. Why can Peter write that? Because he lived it. He unfortunately remembers the times when he and his fellow disciples kept having these absurd arguments about who was the most spiritual, which of them was the best follower of God. They even had that very competition during the Last Supper. Have a spirit of unity. How Peter must have winced when those words appeared from the tip of his pen. But he gave thanks for the extreme patience that Jesus had had with him. Love one another is the very message Jesus would not let go of, like a sermon on repeat. Yes, yes, we get it, we get it, we get it. But of course, they didn't. Not in the moment. Not until later. Have a tender heart. Walk with humility. And one might imagine that children kept coming to Peter's mind, how in compassion Jesus healed several kids. And how in humble playfulness he allowed himself to become a human jungle gym, toddlers crawling all over him while he tried to bless them. How can we, the scattered church, do anything less? Peter wonders. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. Jesus' countenance of peacemaking, his posture of nonviolence, had stuck with Peter. Jesus could have fought back like Peter tried to do, could have retaliated when soldiers were rough with him, could have spit back in their faces, called down thousands of death angels to pass over them and destroy them. Instead, he turned from evil and cultivated good. He blessed those who were intent on murdering him. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When he exhaled his last, Jesus gave his spirit with one final puff, a blessing that somehow kept swirling and spinning until it reached a peoples who were ready or not. The Holy Spirit was the not-so-obvious gift to Peter's audience, who were often at the receiving end of harshness and abuse and scorn. Blessing those who hurt you, ludicrous. But Peter was firm. Jesus' blessing came to them through suffering. Even if you, he said, should suffer for what you're doing, and if that is right, you are still blessed. Peter had witnessed it and felt it himself, and he knew that when you suffer, no matter the type of suffering, that makes you very much like Jesus. So don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Peter writes, co-signing on one of the most frequent phrases in our Bibles, do not fear. Jesus had said that to Peter on multiple occasions. Peter at those times had been little more than a scared child with lots of questions and few answers. But he would, in time, he would learn that they can take your body but not your soul, not your essence, your identity, which is that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, and no one can take that away. So don't be afraid. Therefore, Peter writes, set in your hearts Christ as Lord. Peter had to grow in his Christ as Lord awareness. He never bought into the whole Caesar is Lord thing. But whenever Jesus hinted at or warned of what was going to happen, betrayal, handed over, hanged, Peter couldn't handle it. He would not hear it. Stop saying that. For Peter to learn to set Christ as Lord, he had to see Jesus as the crucified Messiah, the one who would suffer unjustly and die cruelly. Only then could Peter come to perceive that way as the way. If Christ were to be Lord, he would have to follow Jesus entirely to the cross, entrusting his entire being over to God, even unto the grave. Peter knows that if the church is going to make it, they will have to do that too. That Christ as Lord demanded dying to self as well. Not an exciting recipe for church growth strategies, but Peter's mind was elsewhere. He wants to know this. Is the church's priority going to be survival or discipleship? Good favor with the politicians in charge or giving up all power so that others may live? To set Christ as Lord means, Peter knows, that a profound and planted hope would bloom within these Christians. Hope is a tricky thing, a slippery feature, and surely those churches had lost just about all hope. Many individuals likely contemplated if they had misplaced their hope in someone they shouldn't have. But they, like readers of this letter throughout the centuries, have shown up once again to hear, potentially, a word from God. That didn't mean that they didn't or wouldn't struggle with hope. There are a million reasons to let hope go. But it at least meant they had not stopped trying. In hope, they would come to trust that the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead now coursed through their veins and in their body. They would need to die 1,000 ways every day, but they would come to trust that because of Jesus, that which is dead does not stay dead. Life would animate them by the given Spirit, would direct their feet, would open their hands, would help them to respond in hope to all situations with gentleness and respect for God. They would come to know that their faith would not be expressed through memorized belief systems, but through love and love alone. Resurrection power would be at work within them just as it was in Peter, just as it was in Jesus the Christ. Lives reoriented, repaired, renewed for the living hope which breathed within them, swelling in their lungs, that is stronger than the power of the grave. And nothing and nobody could take that away from them. And so together, we can praise God with them. And with them, we can also say or type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we worship in song together.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, rising on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
One of the things that we remember when we gather at tables like this one is, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes, it visits us. We share in that, we remind each other of these things every time we take the bread, we take the cup which has been given to us, and we share it as one body. If you are interested to help serve the bread and the cup to the congregation at large, I am sitting this one out and enjoying it with my family over here. So if we can have several people come up and share that, divvy it up with the congregation, that would be great. Let's pray together, please, and then we will share this together. For all of this, we give you thanks, O God, for the ways that you keep blessing us, calling us, changing us, turning us around. For these things, we are grateful. We're also grateful for this bread, which reminds us of Jesus, as does the cup. And we share it with one another, and we see Jesus not only in us, but in each other as we do so. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things.
Dying from sin.
Since we have been given, let us also now give. You can give in many ways, of course. It doesn't have to just be money. If you choose to give money today, those things can go in the offering tray. You can also give funds online. You can bring it to the office. You can hand it to me, as always. If that is your gift for today, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's pray together, and then Larry and Glenn will walk around. Once again, God, we give you thanks for the ways that you give and continue, if you will, to teach us how to give. Let us be givers as well. Thank you for entrusting us with this gift. Thank you for this congregation, the folks that you have called to be here at this time. And so I pray for them a rich blessing to be upon their heads. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, we have a couple of family matters to share with you. You can go one more, Dan. So the last few weeks, we've been talking about how our sister and friend Lois Oden is turning 100 at the end of this month. Several of you, from what I understand, have gone to her house and visited with her and shared a meal with her. So next Sunday, immediately after service, so when we dismiss from here, there's going to be some light snacks and refreshments that Lois's family and Carlos are going to provide as a way to celebrate her birthday. So if you will, after service, you can just head to the lobby, give Lois a hug, grab something to eat, and from there you can head to classes or whatever is next for you. That will be next Sunday. All right, next slide. I wanted to share this with you. This is our sister, Mary Odell. That's her on the left. That is her very good friend, Coetta. Mary was in Oklahoma last weekend, celebrating Coetta's graduation from a master's in counseling degree, I believe. And she asked that this would be put up on the screen today, and she wants you to know that she loves you and she's thinking about you. And we celebrate with Mary, her friend, Coetta. The Wednesday night prayer group continues to meet here in the lobby. This upcoming Sunday, you are certainly welcome to join in on that. Before I give our benediction and talk about classes, Jessica is going to come make an announcement.
Morning, church. So we're coming into June, and we're approaching potential Lizzie's finalization of her adoption. Really, right now everything's going smoothly. We don't anticipate any speed bumps or anything. So on June 3rd, we're going to have a celebration at our house. Everyone is invited. It just happens to be when some of my family also is in town, so we wanted to go ahead and acknowledge that. So I don't have many details yet, but it'll be a drop-in event. Come and stay as long as you like. Probably between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. All right, that's it.
It's been a long time in coming, of course, and we look forward to celebrating that as well. Thanks, Jessica. We'll keep you updated about what that will entail. All right, you can see up on the slides, we have classes all over this building, from our youngest to our not as young. Choose one of these classes, stick around, be a part of one of these, share in fellowship and communion with one another. All right, thanks again for joining us today. What a gift it has been to be together. Would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction as we are sent forth from here? May God who creates, redeems, and sustains, keep you steadfast in faith, buoyant in hope, and abounding in love. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, remain with you always. Go forth in peace and purpose.